We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back at it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's the John Chuckery Show live here on a Tuesday evening with you. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. We ask you to download the Radio.com app. That is the cool new way to make sure that you always catch the radio station outside of your vehicle. We know you want to listen but don't know how. Well, the Radio.com app is the easiest way to do that. Download that on one of your devices. You know, you got like a smartphone or smart speakers or a Commodore 64 or a Texas Instruments calculator or Coleco or you got a Nintendo Game Boy or something like that. Just download it on one of your devices. That way you can always catch us on the go. Sports Radio 910 The Game has also helped me stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, as always, go to radio.com/stay connected. Social media, all of it is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us and be a part of all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be on our show, be a part of it, follow us, figure it out what's going on with us, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. It is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. We'll talk to our buddy Bill Bender, college football writer, speaking of sporting news and all that good kind of stuff. He will join us coming up in the next segment. But I've found the fallout from The Last Dance, I guess, kind of enjoyable. I'm truthfully, and maybe this is a peek behind the curtain into the mind of Chuckery. By the way, we're going to do Rank'em later. It is Tuesday, so we got to do Rank'em coming up a little bit later. Don't think we forgot about that. But a peek into the mind of Chuckery. I'm enjoying the fallout of The Last Dance much more than I'm enjoying the documentary. And I said it then, and I'll say and I'll keep saying it. You know, for those of us that lived it as adults, we understood it and knew it, okay? Give the documentary credit. You know, I said that on Twitter, you know, in watching people's response, oh, Michael's so great, and lauding him, and all these kinds of things. And a lot of the outsiders were like, well, this is all told from Michael's point of view. Which, okay, nobody has a problem with that. Then, you know, if you believe what you read, that this is how the only way the documentary was going to get made is that Michael wanted creative control and put, you know, his spin and slant, you know, on things. But I did find it fascinating, you know, that people that maybe didn't know as much about Michael and his story and all the things surrounding the Bulls and this, that, and the other, just the conclusions that people made. And I said, okay, you know, and I kind of would come on here, you know, each Monday after and say, if you lived it, you knew it, you know. I mean, you watch SportsCenter, you heard this, that, and the other. And that's why I wanted to have Sam Smith on. Now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, a lot of different ways we could have gone with it. But, and Jarvis will tell you this, I was very adamant. I kept saying, let's get Sam Smith. Because I remember the Jordan Rules book. And there was a stretch there. And Sam even commented about this, where I told him, I said, you know, there was a lot of these, like, tell-all basketball, Season on the Brink about Bobby Knight, the Jim Valvano story with Charles Shackelford and Chris Washburn and all the stuff that went on there. Is, oh, you know, everybody loves, you know. And, again, I understand Valvano and all that. But when you read those books, it's like, okay, so he's as shady and corrupt as everybody else. Okay, got it. You know, and it was Hoop Dreams and, you know, Sam's book. You know, there was a lot of these tell-all things about basketball that came out in a few years stretch there. And his book was a big part of that. And it didn't paint Michael in the rosy way. Now a couple of more things come out. So let's first talk about Sam, because this is funny. So he's been doing interviews and stuff still. He did our show, okay? He was on 95.7 The Game. I don't know where the hell that station is. I don't know if that's in Chicago or what have you. But he said, quote, "There were several things in the documentary that I saw I would know that Jordan made up or he lied about. They weren't major things, but it was like when a TV movie comes on and says, this is based on a true story." That's what it was. It was based on a true story. He says that the idea that the players might reunite for one more season was hogwash. And I'm with him. Listen, with all due respect, okay, Scotty was ready to get out of Chicago. Scotty was ready to move on. He wanted to get paid. He was not in agreement with management. Because remember Michael came on and said, oh, yeah, if you'd have offered him one more year, they'd all come back. No, Rodman had enough. Scotty had enough. There were several guys on that team that had enough. They'd had enough of that run. They'd had enough of Michael. They'd had enough of everything. They had enough of Jerry Reinsdorf. They had enough of Jerry Krause. They had enough. And Sam's right. When I saw that, it was like, when Michael was like, you telling me that those guys wouldn't come back? No, they wouldn't. Scotty wasn't going to come back and sign for a one-year deal to come try to get another championship. Scotty was looking at his career saying, okay, I got to make some money because, you know, I signed a bad deal, but I got to make some money. He was ready to get out of there. Dennis Rodman was ready to do a lot of other things besides basketball. So there's a lot of revisionist history that sounds good 20-some-odd years later to say all that kind of stuff. Now, he also does talk about, too, saying that the story about the pizza gate, flu gate, food poisoning, this, that, and the other. He says that, quote, it was complete nonsense. And I believe that, too. That I don't know where that story comes from about pizza and all that kind of stuff, and he had bad pizza and he was the only one who ate or this, that, and the other. I agree with that. Now, I'm more of a conspiracy theorist on these kinds of things. I ain't buying it was just the flu. I'm not buying. Just like you're never going, no matter what David Stern wants to paint, and he's not here, but nobody would ask him the hard questions. And David Stern was a master. We said this when David Stern passed. You'd have a hard argument trying to convince people that he wasn't the greatest commissioner of all time. Given where he took the league from in the NBA and the stuff that went on. Remember, the drug-ridden NBA. The fact that the NBA championship, the NBA finals were on tape delay. The league was looked at as a laughing stock. Okay? To here comes Magic and Larry, and it's about the players, and it's showtime, and everything that made the NBA just meteorically rise through the 80s and 90s. David Stern was a master tactician. David Stern was also the greatest PR figure that the league could have ever created in a lab. You know, he could smile and tell a folklore and just get you to believe what you wanted to believe out there. You'll never convince me otherwise that Michael left the game because reporters were too hard on him and he'd had enough. The greatest competitor of all time, the guy who had more, on one hand you tell me the guy who had more drive, more competitiveness, more competitive spirit, more drive and all this kind of stuff than any other athlete ever. And you're telling me that reporters forced him out of basketball in his prime, in the middle of the greatest run he could have ever been on. You'll never convince me that that's what it was. And you can give me whatever the reasons you want, but I'm telling you, I'm not buying for a second that's one of them. Just like I'll never buy that Pizzagate is why I ate bad pizza. Vinny, you know, come around the corners, pizza, is why he wasn't in, you know, why he was sick during that game. I'll never buy that. But you, listen, you make your own decisions. You believe what you want to believe. And there's a lot of people that, let's face it, that sort of remember Michael and they've heard about the flu game and this, that, and the other, but don't really know or understand the details. And I'm not saying that Michael is, you know, outright lying per se, but the idea that he's telling the truth, I think, is a stretch out there as well. Now, the latest thing that has also come out, because I think this is fascinating, is there's not audio coming out of Michael Jordan saying that he told Rod Thorne, who was the executive, the selection committee chairman executive for the USA basketball team, that you know, he didn't want Isaiah to play. There's a clip from the quote unquote Dream Team tapes telling reporter Jack McCollum in 2011, quote, Rod Thorne called me and I said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. Thorne assured me. He said, you know what? Chuck doesn't want Isaiah, so Isaiah is not going to be part of the team. Now, this is what Michael says in the documentary. This is the quote. Quote, before the 92 Olympics, Rod Thorne calls me and says, we would love for you to be on the Dream Team. I say, who's all playing? He says, what does that mean? I say, who's all playing? He says, well, the guy you're talking about or you're thinking about, he's not going to be playing. I respect Isaiah Thomas's talent. To me, the best point guard of all time is Magic, and right behind him is Isaiah Thomas. No matter how much I hate him, I respect his game. Now, it wasn't insinuated that I was asking about him, but I never threw... Now, it was insinuated that I was asking about him, but I never threw his name in there. Okay, here's the thing, and I said at the time, it was Michael. There's no conspiracy theory about this. Michael didn't like Isaiah. He didn't want to be on. And the story back then was he flat out was not going to play in the Olympics. There is, with all due respect to having Magic and Larry and this guy and that guy, you could not have had the Dream Team in 1992 without Michael Jordan. I will tell you this. And I fully believe this, 1,000%. If Michael would have said, I don't want Magic Johnson playing on the Dream Team, or I'm not playing, they would have picked Michael over Magic. In 1992, they would have picked Michael over Magic. Michael was that big of a star. Michael was becoming that big of a global brand. And I think that's lost on people. And I think the documentary did do a good job of showing that Michael Jordan had become a world phenomenon. Not just in the United States, a world phenomenon that he was becoming. And I really do believe if Michael would have said, it's me or Magic, they would have taken Michael. So, yeah, there's no question in my mind that he said all this. And so I wonder, as people are reading this, if they're sort of feeling like, okay, maybe we're getting a little bit more of the real story now. Because whether it's Scotty, whether it's Horace, whether it's B.J. Armstrong, you can go through a whole litany. I told you last week, Jarvis and I got an email about the transcript of Bill Cartwright, Horace Grant, Craig Hodges, and maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was Ron Harper. Yeah, Ron Harper. That, okay, I mean, I how do I say this? I'm not saying that everybody in the world is against Michael, but I do think Michael is himself on an island about the perception and the reality of what actually happened through all of that history of the Bulls. Doesn't take away from Michael's greatness. Still arguably the greatest basketball player that has ever laced up and been on the court. But I think some of the mythology and things like that the documentary tried to propose, I think, like I said, I'm enjoying what everybody's saying after the fact even more than what I'm enjoying the documentary. I'm enjoying hearing everybody else talk about, not so much, not so fast, Michael, as Corso would say. All right, when we get back, Bill Bender is going to join us, college football writer. We'll get his thoughts about where we're kind of headed to, what this season may shape up and look at. So lots to get into with Bill when we get back. It is the John Sharkey Show, coming to you live here on a Tuesday evening, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the radio.com app. Back out on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Asking you to download your radio.com app to make sure that you catch us anywhere on the go outside of your vehicle. We know you're not there as often, so listen to the radio station through the radio.com app. Social media for the station at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Also through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is back in Midtown producing the show at JarvisD90. Well, we're getting little glimpses and bits and pieces of information and things kind of opening up in the world of college football. Here to help us sort it all out, friend of the show, Bill Bender, joining us, of course, national college football writer for the Sporting News. As always, follow Bill on Twitter at BillBender92. Of course, proud Ohio Bobcat like my stepsister. Bill, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for being on with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Your stepsister's probably pretty smart, too, then, if she went there with you.
Listen, she makes a heck of a lot more money than her stepbrother, I can tell you that. that's one thing is for sure. Y'all make a lot of money with your degrees from the. Listen, I'm an Akron U guy, so I, you know, take that for what you will, Bill. You know, I mean, that's, you know, listen. I had to step down.
Hey, tell me, make a bunch of money. I don't know what profession that is, but I'm just happy to be on. You know, we can go wherever you want. I know. I'm a little bit excited. I think, you know, the last couple of weeks we've seen a little bit of movement, and there's some hope for this season.
Let's because I'm a cynical person, Bill. Let's get this part first. You know, as we're steamrolling toward name, image, and likeness, which we know is coming now. Do you buy into? You know, Mark Emmert came out and said, well, you know, if students can't get back on campus and things like that, I don't see how there can be a football season. Do you buy into the idea of the conspiracy theory about that was kind of Mark Emmert's way of trying to put the message out there that, look, if you do treat student athletes differently than you would the general student population, then you have succumbed to all of the things people like me have been saying for decades? Do you buy into the conspiracy theory aspect of that?
Not necessarily. I think it's a good step. I think the NCAA has tried to become more student-friendly before the pandemic. The pandemic's heightened a couple things, and I think, you know, the University of Michigan right now is kind of a test case to the whole thing, where you got, you know, a football coach that's probably as well-recognized as any of the top coaches. I know he hasn't beat Ohio State, so, you know, hold the jokes, but versus the school president who said they're not going to play football if they don't have students, and I think this could become something. So it can happen at a top 10 brand, maybe not a program right now, but a top 10 brand like Michigan, then it could happen at some other places and really impact the season. I mean, that would impact Ohio State, right? That's their biggest game.
Yeah, no question about it. I think, though, even if you have, would you agree that even if you have, let's say if you have Michigan, or let's say if you have, I don't know, in the Southeastern Conference, you have one of the, let's say you have Florida, that decides. I'm not saying that they will, but let's just use them. I still think, though, that because of the money that we're talking about, the sport itself is not going to succumb just because you'd have Michigan and Florida and, let's say, I don't know, whatever, Oregon not play this year. I still think that the conferences, and Greg Sankey kind of made a point of this about, hey, look, you know, if we have to do some things differently because Arkansas's not ready to open, then we're not going to let a school dictate what's best for the overall conference.
Yeah, that's why, you know, somebody asked me my best guess, so let me see if you agree with me on all of these points. We will have college football, check. Mm-hmm. I think it might start late, maybe a week or two late, just in case, you know, just because they've got to figure out the logistics of having a full camp. So I think we might start a few weeks late, maybe have 9 or 10 games. Three was not all 130 schools will play. And four is I don't really have a good answer on fans. I think it'll be limited fans, but I just don't know how you do it with the diversity of the college football fan base. And I'm talking not, you know, race, but more so students, donors, alumni, the older folks that, you know, might be more susceptible to COVID-19. I think it's going to be very hard to delineate who gets tickets and who doesn't if you have limited stadium sizes.
Bill Benner, national college football writer for Sporting News, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. I agree with you, and we're going to talk about this later in the show. Iowa State came out and said that even if they do have fans, they don't expect to get back to full capacity. Gene Smith obviously came out and said, look, we could be half, we could be maybe 40,000. I think the thing is, Bill, is that I think the universities are, and I think this is going to happen in the NFL as well. I think everybody's scared to have that conversation, and we talked about this last week. The Steelers have already said they're limiting their ticket sales already. They've cut their ticket sales in half specifically because they don't want to have these uncomfortable conversations. But let's face it, Bill, we know if they're going to have limited people in the stands, we know who's going to be in and who's not going to be out. Conversation or not, they'll tell the student, sorry, man, this guy over here is putting, you know, the guy that the stadium's named after, don't worry, he's going to be in. Unfortunately, you may not be in.
A lot of friends of the program are going to happen, I think, you know what I mean? They'll have a friends of the program section, I'm sure. Yeah, I think those are the tough questions, and then you get into the gameplay part of it, and this is something that I apologize. I don't know what level you guys are open there. I think it's probably comparable to what we've got going on in Ohio, where we've started some youth baseball stuff with social distancing. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be so far apart. You wipe the balls. I think we're all drenched in sanitizer. But so how do you do that on a football field where it's a gross game, right? So, and I'm not trying to be gross, but there's a lot of things that go on a football field that could potentially spread this disease. So I guess it really comes down to having a really comprehensive testing program, where I'm more worried about the potential legal issues if a student-athlete caught COVID while playing, especially if it was deemed safe. I mean, think of that from a parent standpoint.
Yeah, and Bill, I think that, and I was about to bring that up too, I think you're right. I think one of the we just had somebody on, we just had Ryan Fagan on actually talking about, you know, Major League Baseball and, you know, how do players look at it? Now, I understand they're professionals and there's money involved, but at the same time, let's just use Trevor Lawrence, okay? Trevor Lawrence is in a position where, okay, do I come back and play one more year of college football because I'm going to be the number one draft pick? Do I risk any sort of health concerns to come back and play versus I'll just sit out and I'm still going to be the number one pick in the NFL? I'm curious as to what some of the athletes, especially some of the top guys, how they react to the idea of coming back and playing. Especially, you know, Clemson just said they're going to open up on June 8th and get some things started. I'm curious how some of these top guys that are getting ready to go to the NFL, how they respond to the idea of coming back and playing in this environment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because all it takes is one, right? And everybody parents different. And not to keep harping on this youth baseball that we have here, but to put it in perspective, we have 12 families, and we kind of have three camps of people right now. You have the ones that are not leaving their house and Lysoling everything. You have the ones that are kind of out and about. And I don't want to say careless, but they're out more than others. And then you have kind of where my family's been, is somewhere in the middle. We've social distanced and made sure to keep everybody safe, but we've also, you know, not locked ourselves in our house 24/7. So you have to respect everybody's wishes. Now you put that and extrapolate it over 100 college football players, and you're going to have those same three camps. And I think those questions have to be answered. And the coaches are on the hook. Because like I said, I think, John, this notion that, oh, some guys are going to get COVID while they play, it's not an ankle sprain or an MCL tear. And that's why I think you really have to take into consideration before you put these student-athletes on the field who aren't getting paid, by the way.
National college football writer for Sporting News, Bill Benner, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. One thing I do think, though, Bill, is I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to try to push college football into spring. What are your thoughts about that?
No, because then if you're Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or Gregory Russo, you name, 100 NFL guys, why would you do that and back-to-back, ruin your NFL draft chance a month before you're there? So I think you'd almost get away with training and just eating a season. Now, would that hurt your development as a player? Absolutely. But I think there's a lot of players that the Trevor Lawrence question, we were doing this before there was even COVID with Trevor Lawrence. And there were people that asked that question like they did with Clowney of, should he even play next year? If they start playing in January, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I love the kid, and I don't know what he, I can't speak for what he would do, but I don't know that I would play.
Yeah, and I even said too, Bill, I mean, to use like another scenario, if this were back in the old days, let's say you're Todd Helton, and you can either be the quarterback for Tennessee or you know your bones are going to be made in baseball, why would I come and play football in a sport where I know I don't have a future versus I'm going to go play my other sport of baseball in the spring? And I think that there are some guys like that, whether, you know, it's baseball or whatever it may be, that you're also going to have some guys that look and say, hey, you know, my future's more in this particular sport versus anything that I have football related.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something to consider as well with those players if they try to do a spring season. And I just don't know. I mean, I'm stalled for any sports, anything. I'd watch a Royals-Mariners doubleheader right now if it was on and be very content to do it. And I can't name five Mariners, unfortunately. So, and I'd watch an Indian. I'd love to watch an Indian game right now. I think we're so stalled for live sports. But I just think in some ways, how would you do college football and college basketball at the same time at any university and be able to sell both? I don't know that you can. And I want to say that, yeah, it could work. I just don't know what that would look like.
Follow him on Twitter. It is at BillBender92, of course, national college football writer for Sporting News, friend of the show here. Bill, as always, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on here in Atlanta. We'll be talking to you here soon because we're going to continue to see this thing get slow steps, but always appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk here soon.
Yeah, it was great to catch up. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. There you go. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. I agree with Damian Lillard, and I hope the league's kind of take a cue from what he had to say, because it truthfully makes the most sense. We'll talk about that next. It is What's Bugging Chuckery, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. But it felt like Monday today. I mean, even though the calendar said Tuesday, man, it definitely felt like a Monday having to get up early and go back to work. So one day in, we only got three more days to go before the weekend gets here. So just think, I mean, tomorrow's already hump day. I mean, we've already made it halfway through the week, right? So we'll still a lot going on. We'll talk to our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, tomorrow night. And I said on Thursday we got confirmation that we'll give out the actual person, and we'll tease all of that tomorrow. But, you know, just as a teaser to the tease, here's what I'll tell you about our guest for Thursday. New world order. New world order. Just throwing that out there, just giving you a little inside scoop to all of that. So anyway, still lots to get into. We'll get to our Falcon flyover at the top of the hour for it. Thought Bill had a lot of interesting comments. I enjoy talking to Bill. I've been talking to him really since the beginning of my radio career, and he's an Ohio guy, and so we have that in common. And, yes, he did go to the same school that my stepsister went to, so they do have that in common. They don't know each other, but just they're both Ohio U graduates. So I always enjoy his takes and things like that. And it will be interesting to see how I do think that, you know, much like we talked about with Ryan Fagan about the baseball aspect of how do players approach this, how do the kids approach this? You know, how much is, you know, boy, this is where – you know, you start to say to yourself, okay, are they adults? Do they make their own decisions? Does mom and dad make the decision for them? You know, I mean, there is that. It's different when you're 31 years old and you're a professional athlete and you have a wife and kids and you're making millions of dollars. You're going to make those decisions. But it's another thing if you're, you know, what, 20 years old and you're not, you know, old enough to go into a bar and buy a drink yet, but you are old enough to vote and participate in the military and things like that. So how much is your decision? How much is your parents' decision? You know, and I guarantee that there's going to be some kids that are on opposite sides of that debate, that there are kids that are going to want to play. And let's face it, I mean, did you not feel invincible at 20 years old? Now, you know, we can get into the statistical analysis of what COVID, you know, the chances of getting it and that, you know, in 20-year-olds, and I understand that stuff. But it's the mental aspect of the whole process. You know, there will be parents that will say, look, this is your best chance, go for it. There'll be parents that will say, hey, you know, we're freaked out and we don't want you to die. You know, it'll run all extremes and gamuts when you talk about the whole landscape of collegiate athletes. But let's face it. I mean, if you leave it up to the kids, I think the kids themselves will say, let's play. Just because you feel youthful and you feel invincible. Hell, when I was 20 years old, you couldn't tell me anything. When I was 20 years old, I was already, you know, on my own and, you know, earning income and things like that. I mean, you couldn't tell me anything. And I felt invincible, and I did a bunch of stupid things. I mean, no question about it. Did as many dumb things as you could possibly ever want to do at 20 years old. So I felt like, you know, nothing can stop me. You know, I've got the world started, and, you know, I know everything and this, that, and the other. So I think if you leave it completely up to the players, they'll be like, okay. Now, what's interesting is the fact that if you talk about the biggest risk groups, there's no question about it that a lot of these coaches, they fall into the biggest risk group, the Nick Sabans, you know, of the world. I mean, guys like that are, you know, in that age bracket that, you know, are most greatly affected by the COVID, the coronavirus, whatever you want to refer to it as. So that aspect of it all will be very interesting to sort out. And I know our buddy on Twitter, Barrett, said, you know, maybe the non-Power Fives should start after March Madness and things like that. Yeah, but, I mean, you still run into the same problem. Look, nowadays you have tons of games. I mean, think about the Falcons. Look at their draft. And their third-round pick is a non-Power Five. Their fourth-round pick's a non-Power Five. You know, I mean, a lot of those you still have a lot of those kids that are getting drafted out of those schools. It runs into the same problem. And then you get into the academic calendar and things like that. And look, you have a lot of those kids. There are a percentage of those kids that are like, you know, like I said, like what a Todd Helton is. You know, Todd Helton was starting quarterback for the University of Tennessee, but he was also a Tennessee baseball player who knew that his bread was buttered in baseball. That's where his long-term future was. So why would I play football when I have another sport that's going to earn me money and things like that? Not to mention, too, that coming up this season, remember, as you get into 2021, they're going to, you know, the Olympics are coming back around. Well, outside of basketball and, you know, things like that, I mean, a lot of those athletes are on college campuses that are going to be in the Olympics, gymnastics and things like that, you know, and for some guys, track and field. So I think, I just don't think that spring is a feasible and viable option for any sort of collegiate football season to try to take place. I just don't think it's realistic to have that. So, but we'll see. I think they'll start close to October. I think it'll be 10 games. And you will get the majority of a season, and you'll get your postseason and all that. And they'll try to condense it, you know, as much as they can and get kids done and out of it and say, hey, we had a season for all of it. All right. Speaking of, let's have a season. Let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about the NBA and the NHL at the very start of the show, and the NHL has come up with a 2014 playoff proposal, and they've been adamant about the idea that they wanted to finish their regular season. The NBA has done a lot of that, too, saying that they would like to. You know, we talked to Kurt Heelan last week about the idea of, you know, trying to play some regular season and things like that. Damian Lillard, though, today had an interesting take to Yahoo Sports, and I completely agree with what he has to say. He said, quote, if we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season, and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games, and we don't have a true opportunity to get in the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. I'm telling you that right now. And he's exactly right, and I agree 100%. Now, I know that, too, that Travis Schlenk actually was quoted in an article from ESPN talking to Woj about, you know, well, you know, we've got young guys and like to play. And I understand all of that, but I think the NBA and NHL both need to understand that not just from a player, but from a fan perspective. Honestly, does anybody really care about the last 15 games of the regular season for the Atlanta Hawks at this point? Is there anything really to be had? After having months off to gather those guys back together, what do you learn about them? Well, they get a chance to play together. Okay, then have a summer league and do that. Why waste time in NHL or NBA on any regular season? At this point, as fans, you can say, well, fans want to see that. No, we're ready to get it back, but we also understand the time constraints. Because let's face it, a lot of us are waiting for football. We're waiting for baseball, too. And if the NHL and NBA want to capture the imagination of the sports fan, then get right to the playoffs. You want to have some exhibition games and stuff? I agree. There has to be some kind of warm-up, tune-up. I'm with you on all that. But it makes no sense to me to bring all of the teams into a location just to say you played out the regular season. That strategy to me, and if we're that worried about safety, why incorporate more teams? What difference does 15 games make for the Atlanta Hawks? 15 games or 17 games, whatever. Even if you came back and said, well, they're going to play 10. For what? For what? And with all due respect to Portland, who I think is in the ninth spot and they're 3.5 games out, is the world worse off because if Portland doesn't get into the playoffs? Oh, you know, the Portland Trailblazers didn't have their chance. So? I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, does it even matter if the Portland Trailblazers found themselves, oh, you know, we're close to a playoff spot, okay, and they didn't get a chance, okay, and the world will go on. You know, I don't look at it as, oh, well, Portland got screwed. No, they didn't. They didn't get screwed. Can anything happen in sports? Yes. But does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? No. And that's why I keep saying about the NHL and NBA. Just get to the playoffs. Have some exhibition and things like that. You want to have the teams kind of scrimmage against one another that are going to be in the playoffs? Fine. Have them scrimmage against one another. But why bring all the teams in just to say we got the regular season done? And I understand there's the money aspect, of course. If teams have X amount of games, then they get their local advertising revenue. I get all that, and I understand all that. But is the risk worth the reward for all of that, for what we're really getting? Because I'll speak selfishly as a sports fan. I don't care. I don't need to see any more Atlanta Hawks basketball. Now, what do the Atlanta Hawks have in it? Like we said, there's local revenue and things like that, that if they meet it, they... Okay, I get that. I understand that. Surely there can be a compromise, can't there? If everybody else is compromising and things like that, surely there can be a compromise on all of these things about ad revenue and this, that, and the other, right? There has to be something that they can work out, right? Without necessarily saying, okay, the Atlanta Hawks need to play 10 more games so that they get their Fox Sports revenue or whatever out of it. That, to me, just doesn't make any sense. You know, now the NBA wants to, you know, say, well, you know, the competitive, you know, this, that, and the other. Who cares? We don't need 30 teams down in Orlando. We don't need, you know, I don't even like the 24-team playoff format for the NHL. I mean, it's like at some point you just have to kind of say, like, okay, let's just wrap this thing up, take the reality of it. You know, Major League Baseball has more invested because they haven't played a single game. They haven't had a single solitary game come along. So, you know, to have some kind of season, they're trying to at least figure out how to get to have. That's totally different. You have two leagues that are on the bottom, you know, end of their regular season that are trying to sort out a playoff spot here, playoff spot there. Just end it all. Just be done with it. So I'm with Damian Lillard, you know, on this. I mean, bringing 30 teams to Orlando, okay, like he said, I'll travel with my team, but why play? And I think if you put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around guys like, I guarantee that there's a lot more guys like Damian Lillard. They may not all go on record and say it because they may not have the cachet that Lillard does, but I guarantee there's a lot of guys like Lillard. At this point, okay, we've accepted our, you know, by the way, the NBA's already started prorating salaries and things like that. There's already, you know, money that's already been prorated for all that stuff. So that they've already started in all that. Take the teams in the NHL and NBA that can go to the playoffs, knock a playoff schedule out, wow fans with the playoffs, and be done. And let's get to the offseason. Because if the NFL has done nothing else, it's shown you that a quality offseason can be just as compelling as anything that you can put on the field. Come up with a way to make the NBA draft fun and exciting. Or free agency, or whatever. Wasn't last year in free agency in the NBA as fun and exciting as it could be? With Cowie and Durant and Kyrie and everybody running around doing all their crazy stuff? All of a sudden it went from, oh, well, Cowie's going to be here, here, and here. And all of a sudden he ends up in L.A. It was great. Oh, Paul George is coming. Oh, wow. How'd that all happen in an instant? So at least use the blueprint of the NFL. Make your offseason compelling. Forget regular season. Forget all this other. Find a way to get the playoffs done and knocked out, and then get to the regular season to get people geared up and excited again. And do take a page from the NFL. Show people how to make it fun in the offseason like the NFL has done. Because the NFL proves all the time. Give me quality programming in the offseason. You know, glorified workouts in Indianapolis, and people will be interested in it. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. All right, when we get back, top of the hour, we will get to our Falcons flyover, including what Matt Ryan has been up to, a couple of news and notes about him. It's all coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live here on a Tuesday evening with you, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.